there's just something about the presence of God and the Word of God like that. When you're sitting under it, it's like it just removes all the doubt of the impossible. Like, no, that's totally possible. We can do that. Yeah. Amen? One of the things that was brought out in the meeting was, you know, that Jesus didn't say, when you pray, believe you receive it and go work for it. That's one of the things that's brought. It says, when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. God told Jesse Duplantis one time, you know, this is years ago, when the Lord said, I want you to believe me for a jet plane. And he interpreted that, you know, for traveling and the gospel and so forth, you know, and they go all over the world. And he was thinking, okay, I have to come up with the money. And the Lord said, no, I didn't ask you to come up with the money. He says, I asked you to believe. And he said, from that moment on, it took all the pressure off. And then God supernaturally brought the money in for it. And the Lord spoke that to him when he was driving his little Toyota around the country and couldn't even afford to put gas in the car. And a CX, whatever it was, flew over his head. And the Lord said, you're going to have one of those. He couldn't even put gas in his car. Amen. And he made the mistake of telling some other preachers about that. And they thought he was nuts. You know what I'm saying? Is that better? Does that look pretty? As long as it works. Amen. Praise God. How many just love this humidity, you know, that we're come swimming in here today? Amen. Hallelujah. The jacket might go in a few minutes. I don't know. You want to drop it down one more degree there, brother? Father, we just thank you for the word of God today. Fill us to overflowing. In Jesus' name, that's my prayer, Father. Amen and amen. I want to talk about something today. We're going to start a new series today about staying connected. And we're going to talk about different areas to stay connected in. In John 15, we'll look at verse 1 in the King James translation. It says this, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Another translation says gardener. So Jesus, he said, I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. He planted me. He said, verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then verse 3, I love this. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Notice that the word has a cleansing element to it. Amen? But when you hear the word, it cleanses us. It washes us. And so verse 4 says, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, notice this, much fruit. Say that.
Much fruit.
Now notice what comes right after this phrase right here. Much fruit, he says, for without me you can do what?
Nothing.
Let's say that again. For without me you can do nothing. Okay, what does nothing mean?
Nothing.
Nothing. No thing. Okay. And I love this illustration here. Jesus says, I'm like the vine, you're the branches, but apart from me you can do nothing. I think it's really important that we understand that, that we get a grasp on that. I believe the Holy Spirit today is going to bring revelation in this area. And then verse 6, he goes on to say here, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Say, that's not me.
That's not me.
All right. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now we see this word in these eight verses here. We see the word fruit, much fruit, fruit. It's about bearing fruit. Okay, that's what Jesus is talking about here. And it is the will of God that you and I bear fruit in our lives. Prayer fruit, fruit of the Spirit, fruit of our prayers being answered. It's God's will that we bear fruit in every single area of our life. Amen? Now, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we're not going to turn there because of time, that the Bible says that we're in a race. We're in a race. Now, the thing about this race is this. Now, I know from years back when I was a teenager, I used to run long distance. And I trained really hard for it. I mean, I trained for years and years and years when I was in my younger years to train for long distance running. And I remember vividly there were times where, you know, especially if you're running, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 miles, something like that. When you first start out, there are people that would sprint out. I mean, they would sprint out. And then your mind's like, oh, I don't know how this is going to end too much. You know, when you're younger, you're thinking this, you know, this guy's flying out ahead of us. But then 2 or 3 miles into the race, he is huffing and puffing. Amen? I guarantee if at the Pittsburgh Marathon, if I started out of the block the first 50 feet or whatever, I could beat those guys. But after 25 miles, I don't think so. So it's not so much how you start, it's how you finish. And it's really important because the Bible says that we're in a race. Paul said we're in a race, and he says we're to lay aside the things that distract us. He said lay aside the weights and the sins, the things that beset us, that hold us back. Amen? And he's writing that to the entire Christian body. He's writing that to you and I. And there are things in our lives that, you know, I've been around this long enough to see in the last 30-some plus years that I've seen, you know, peers of mine, friends of mine, even other minister friends of mine that started the race but never finished it, that dropped out somewhere. And if you look back, you know, it usually comes because of discouragement, bad things happen. Now, here's the thing that we have to understand, that anybody that's finished their course and ran their race, they've had the same opportunities to quit and to give up. Every single person. Hallelujah. The same pastors that I've talked to through the years that decided to drop out of the race and no longer do it, they had the same opportunities that this boy had to. I'm not saying that I'm any better. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying the same kind of discouraging things happen to ministers across the board. But the devil wants to paint a picture like, oh, they have it so good. Just look at them, you know. And the devil will have you looking at family. Sometimes they'll come in the church. They're carrying their Bibles. They look like they have their acts together. But then you don't see the argument at the house. Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. Let's just be real, you know. There are times that you have intense fellowship with one another. Isn't that true? I'm not advocating arguing or anything like that. We need to protect peace. Amen. But I'll tell you, the devil, sometimes he tries, especially when you're on your way to church, you know, getting some kind of an argument or something like that. Like, hur, 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 you know, and you got to put your smiley face on when you come in church. Right? But let's just be honest. Let's just be real. All of us have opportunities. Say opportunities. Opportunities. We have opportunities to get in the flesh. We have opportunities to get upset at people, family members, whatever, you know, bosses, kids, whatever. But it's what we do with those opportunities that will determine our outcome. And see, the devil wants to just pick fruit away from you. Amen? Did you ever notice that a fruit tree, an apple tree, whatever, the fruit is never for the benefit of the tree. God created that fruit tree for the benefit of other people. I was in a local farm that's in our area one time, you know, years ago, and it was in the fall time, and that's basically when you harvest the apples, you know, in September, October, like that. And I mean, I'm tall. These trees, I mean, only about as tall as this ceiling right here, but they were just loaded with apples. I mean, there was more apples than I could even imagine, you know? And everything in that tree was saying, pick me right now. You know what I mean? And it just looked beautiful, this beautiful, red, delicious apple hanging there. You're making your mouth water right now as I'm saying this. Just beautiful, big, and there was hundreds of them on this tree, hundreds. And then I saw some fall to the ground, and they were laying on the ground, you know. But that fruit was never born or grown for the benefit of that tree. It was meant to be eaten because that's the way God created it. And so it is in the realm of the Christian realm, is that God created you to bear fruit in your life, to see results. You know, God wants you to see results in your prayers when you pray. A lot of times we think of like Russian roulette, you know, when it comes to prayer, answer prayer, like, well, maybe God will be in a good mood this day. Maybe I'll just hit it right on and something will happen. You know what I mean? That's not the way God operates. We're going to see this in the scripture right here that Jesus said, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. There's nothing in there about guess, maybe, hope so. You know what I'm saying? Can I tell you why God's against the lottery? Now, if I step on your toes, come up afterwards, God will heal them. Amen. Can I tell you why God's against the lottery? Because there's more losers than there are winners. And God is not into any losers. Okay? Are you with me? Boy, we got quiet in this Presbyterian church. Amen. But it's a sad thing. I mean, I've walked in like 7-Elevens or Get-Go's or something like that, you know, and the longest line in that little convenience store is the line where they buy the lottery tickets. And I mean 12, 15 people back, you know, just hoping that they get their number picked, you know, just throwing their money away. Just throwing it away. You know what I'm saying? It's like those machines, you know, you ever see those machines when our kids were small? They loved that machine where that little hand would go over and jump down and pick up that thing, you know? Then we put enough quarters in there, we could buy 25 of those stuffed animals. Just got to win that thing, you know? You know what I mean? And anyway, when we sow, Josh had talked about this, of sowing purposefully. When you sow purposefully, it's not like a lotto ticket, like, well, Lord, I just hope something happens. You sow with a divine, just like you plant a seed in the ground. You are expecting an end result. There is something going to grow up. It's no different in the things of God, in finances, in different areas of our lives. When we sow a seed, we should expect a harvest. Amen? And so the scripture talks about how that we're in a race in Hebrews chapter 12. And it says, let us lay aside every sin and the weights that easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Another translation says he's the A to Z, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of our faith. Hallelujah. I know all of you in here had at some point in your, you know, most people in here have been saved for quite a while, you know, even for a couple of years. How many of you had opportunities to get discouraged and drop out of the race? Raise your hand. Okay. Yeah. That's right. Thank you for your honesty. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So it's one thing to start something. It's another thing to finish it. And like I said, we're talking about staying connected to, this is the first thing we're going to talk to, is staying connected to the vine, praise God. Now, notice verse 7 again. It's John 15, verse 7. Let's just analyze this and talk about this. If you abide, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Notice it says, it will be done unto you. So here's the qualifications to answer prayer right here. If you abide in me, number one, how do you abide in Jesus? By being born again. Okay? When you said yes to Jesus, how many here said yes to Jesus in your life? When you say yes to him, it's so important to do that. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship. And when you say yes to Jesus, then you are abiding in him. But note, secondly, he says, if my words abide in you. So there's two qualifications here for answered prayer. Abide in Christ, that's being born again. And number two, let his words abide in you. Well, the only way that I know to do that is to put his word on the inside of me. What does God say about this? In every crisis of life, in every situation in life, we have to, here's what God's wisdom is. What does the Bible say about this? Instead of going through life, you know, just trying to make it. You know what I'm saying? Just doing your best. But ask yourself, in every situation in life, what does God's word say? What's he say about this relationship? What does he say about my money? What does he say about my health? What does he say about every area of life? And there is a wisdom key in the Bible for every single area of life that we face if we seek it out. Amen? That proverb says it like this, wisdom crieth in the streets. She uttereth her voice in the chief marketplaces. Amen? So wisdom is everywhere. It's there for us. We just have to find it. Jesus said, when you seek wisdom, you'll get wisdom. Hallelujah. So if we are born again, he said, no, if you abide in me, and then secondly, my words abide in you, you can ask with confidence. Amen? Remember 1 John? John is the same author of 1 John as he is the Gospel of John, but in 1 John, I'll just refer to it. And John said this, if He says, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Whatever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he heareth us, we have the petitions that we desire of him. Amen. So we know that we receive when we know what his word says. What his word says. Hallelujah. When we know God's will. When Josh's name was called out last night over the internet, and we weren't there, of course, you know, I said, is he here? Is anybody, is he here? No, he went home already, you know. Well, that gave us a confidence without seeing anything yet on paper that we have a free hotel next year for the whole week. Not anybody could just run up and claim that. They said, no, I want that. No, that's not your name. So in other words, when their will was made known to Josh over the whole thing, then it gave us a confidence before we ever saw any documents or any papers or anything that we have a free trip next year. Right? It gave us a sense of confidence. Why? Because we knew what the ministry's will was. They randomly picked different people, okay? But once that will was made known to us, it gave us a confidence that we got a free trip next year. We haven't seen anything yet. No phone call, no paper, no nothing, but we know we're going. Are you with me? And so when we know what God's will is in any given circumstance, we can pray with confidence. You see, faith begins where the will of God is known. Let me say that again. Faith begins where the will of God is known. When there's no word, there's no will. Lack of God's word produces lack of confidence. When you know what God says about you and your circumstance, you can pray with absolute assurity and confidence that when you go before God's throne, you're going to receive. Amen? How many good receivers do we have in here today? Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, the word of God will produce not a false confidence. That's what the world says. We're talking about a sure confidence that what God says in his word, what he says is that he will back up heaven to give that to us. Amen? That's why when I pray for healing for myself, if I need healing, if something's going on in my body or whatever, that I can pray with utmost confidence because I've spent enough time in the Word of God knowing scriptures of what he says about my physical body, so it's not a mystery to me. You know what I mean? It's not like, well, Lord, are you in a good mood today? It's like that thing, he loves me not. Pull the flower petals off, you know. He heals me not. No. We know what God's Word says. Amen? Matter of fact, on August the 18th, that's a Sunday night, I want to put a plug in. We're going to be doing healing school here. And Brother Dan is going to be sharing at that healing school. And he's got a tremendous, tremendous anointing in the area of faith and healing. Amen. And but I can tell you this, that when we come together like this, we're putting out the word, putting out the word, putting out the word so that faith comes automatically. Amen. It's just like when you eat food. I mean, nourishment, you don't have to pray about the nourishment. You don't think, man, I hope my stomach does the right thing. I just ate that hamburger. You know, I sure hope that my stomach does the right thing. You don't even think twice about it. You just gulp that thing down, enjoy it, and you go about your business. And something has taken place. The nourishment's taken place inside your gut. Praise God. Don't mean to be, you know. But something's going on down there. Amen. And your digestive system is breaking that down and giving nourishment to your bodies. Unless it's McDonald's. That's another. Just kidding. But, well, the Word of God is like food. Amen. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what natural food, listen to this, what natural food is to your body, the Word of God is to your spirit. That's spirit food. The Bible is spirit food. And when you feed a scripture or two into your soul by saying it out loud, reading it out loud, that drops down inside you and gives you spiritual nourishment. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Like Brother Copeland said this week a couple of times, he goes, the memory of a potato never nourished anybody. You got to eat that thing. Are you with me? And just the memory of a scripture, you got to eat it, digest it. Was it Jeremiah that said, thy words were found and I did eat them? Now, what does that mean? Grab your Bible and start chewing on it? No. When you take the word of God and you say it out loud, it drops down inside your spirit and gives you spiritual nourishment. Thank you, Lord. Now, go over to John chapter 5. Now, again, we're talking about staying connected to Jesus, staying connected to Him. If we're going to finish our race, which I believe all of us do in this room, if you want to finish your race with the Lord, we have to stay connected to Him. Jesus had the same mindset, in fact. We're going to look at this in John 5, verse 19. Oh, I love this. It says, that's John 5, verse 19 says, verily, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now notice, it says, the Son can do nothing of Himself. But what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. There's a lot of King James in there, but I'll just paraphrase that. Jesus said here, He said, I can do nothing of my own self. There's nothing I can do. He says, but what I see my Father do, those are the things that I will do. Hallelujah. Now, do you see Jesus' dependency on the Heavenly Father here? Do you see that? He wasn't just isolated doing His own thing and His own will. Jesus said, I can only do what I see my Father do. Someone says, yeah, but Brother Keith, that's Jesus. You know, that He's in a class by Himself. Yes, He is in one sense. He is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. But see, Jesus became like us. He took upon Himself a physical body like you and I. And the book of Philippians says He laid aside His heavenly powers and became like us, so that His dependency on the Father was an example for you and I and our dependency upon the Father. Amen? And so Jesus would only do things as He saw His Father do it. Praise God. Yeah, just a few days ago, we had an invitation to do something, you know, and it was a good thing. It was actually a really good thing, you know. But I looked in my spirit because it looked like a really cool thing to do. It was a good thing, actually. But in my spirit, could I see myself doing that? And I said, no, can't do it. I just don't see myself doing it. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, it wasn't a bad thing. It was actually a good thing. It had to do with ministry, you know, an invitation for something. But I saw myself, can I see myself doing that? No. So right away, now this wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't an angel that appeared to me and say, Keith, you shall not go to this place. You know what I mean? For this week or whatever it was, you know. Amen? Yeah. And there was no audible voice. There was no angel. There was no heavenly choir singing the Alleluia Chorus or anything. It was nothing like that. But it's just an inward witness. Can I see myself going to that place for that week? And the answer was no. So I got my answer. Praise God. Now, this is the inward witness that Jesus... The Bible says God leads His children through the inward witness. This is the number one way. Now, I'm not trying to get off subject here, but this is the number one way that God speaks to all His children. By the inward witness. And if you're looking for some kind of physical, outward voice, you're going to miss it. Okay? Because God, if you're a Christian, where does He live? He lives on the inside of you, yeah, through the person of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And where we get in trouble is when we violate that inward witness and we do something, we move forward with something we know we're not supposed to be involved with. I mean, it could be a relationship, it could be an investment, it could be any number of things. And what the devil does is he puts pressure on the soul and the mind and the will of motions of people to move out and do something in the flesh. And the devil's like, push it, you know what I'm saying? But the Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that they are the sons of God. Do you know a shepherd just never leads from behind? He doesn't drive the sheep. Crack the whip. Now, Jesus said the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep and the sheep will follow Him. Jesus is our good shepherd. Amen. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they're not going to follow. Do you know the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is always endeavoring to bring comfort and peace to your mind when your mind is troubled? You see, the battlefield is in the mind. Someone wrote a book about that one time. The battlefield's in the mind. That's where all the war goes on, inside the thinking and the thoughts. But the Holy Spirit is there. You got the devil here in the flesh, and then you got the Holy Ghost right here, and he's trying to get something over to you. Amen? You know, I'm telling you, if I ever feel driven or pushed to do something, I just back off. I'm telling you, and sometimes people can drive and push, and sometimes your own soul can do that. You know what I mean? You feel pressured to do something. And when I start feeling the way, I just learn to just back off. Say, no, I'm just going to wait till I know. The Bible says, be still and know. It doesn't say get in a hurry and do something. It says, be still and know. And it's just, that's when you start to train your spirit. This is where most of the Christian world misses this, but it's available to every believer, is to learn to listen to your inward witness. Learn to listen to your spirit. Glory to God. And I'm telling you what, when you listen to the Holy Spirit, he will always lead you in paths of peace. Now, Jesus said in John 5:19, he says, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, he says, that's the things I'm going to do. Okay? Brother Hagin used to call it a velvety-like feeling when Jesus appeared to him and gave him that book, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. And he says, the Lord gave him this book to teach the body of Christ how to be led by the Spirit of God. It is one of the best books that you could ever get. It's the first book I ever got a hold of, ever, that I remember. And it literally transformed and changed my life. So much so that I've read it over and over and over again through the years, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. Amen. In fact, that reminds me, I'm going to put an order in for some of those in the church here. Amen. So that if you don't have it, we'll give you access to that book, because it's that good. But see, Jesus' dependency was so much on the Father that he didn't say anything or do anything apart from that. Think about that. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? And when we have the same kind of dependency, now, again, we're going to miss it here and there. That's okay. But the main thing is that we're endeavoring to move forward and listen to our spirits. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's been times, I remember way back many, many years ago, about 20-some years ago, I had the opportunity to get involved in this investment. And I'll tell you, there are Christians and there are people in our circles that were getting involved in this investment thing. And because of the people that I saw getting involved with that, I kind of was looking to that. These are peers and people in our circles, you know, that were getting involved, like almost like it was a stamp of approval to get involved in this this business decision. You know, it was going to make people a lot of money. And, well, needless to say, you know, we got involved with it. We got burnt. Amen. There's some people that made a whole lot of money, but some people really got burnt in this whole thing, and it turned out to be a big scam. You know what I mean? But if I were to get back upstream and listen to my spirit, the Spirit of God was trying to tell me not to do that. Mm-hmm. And my wife too. But, you know, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Are you with me now? Now, does God want to prosper his people? Well, absolutely, absolutely. You know, but there's a right way to do it. There's a wrong way to do it. Amen. And, But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit was there. He was trying to show me. But you know what? I just didn't want to listen to him. I really didn't. I didn't. I could have, but I didn't. Okay? And I learned the hard way in that situation. Okay? See, I'm not going to just stand up here and tell you all my success stories. I'll tell you, there's been times I've missed it too. Okay? But I've learned from it. I've recovered from it. And I'm back up on my feet again. Amen? And there's not one minister out there that hasn't done the same thing. I'll tell you that right now. But here's what it really comes down to is, do I see myself doing that? You know, here's the thing. If the Lord wanted me to get involved in that financial investment, he would have told me ahead of time. He would have showed me ahead of time that something's coming. Be ready for this. But because You know, someone said it like this. You can go just as much by what God doesn't say as by what he does say. Now, the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. That's one of his jobs, the Holy Spirit. And when we're connected to Christ, which if you're born again, you are, then the Holy Ghost inside you wants to lead you and to guide you in all truth. Amen?
Amen.
He wants to protect you. He wants to keep you.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, I went out to buy a set of tires for my little red Chevette that I had. Our first, second car, actually. You remember when they used to make red Chevettes? Okay. All right. That's why they don't make them anymore. All right. But back in the day, you know, when we were first starting out, it was affordable, you know. And if you couldn't get up a hill, you know, just remember Fred Flintstone. Just put those feet down and just give it a little bit of a help. You know what I mean? And, well, I'd wore my first set of tires out. And I went to get a new set of tires on at this place. And I was coming back to my home. I was on the way back. And I was kind of in a hurry because I was just tired of sitting around waiting all day. And I was at a red light, you know. And it was a blind intersection. I was the first car in line, and it was like this, you know, and I was waiting for the light to turn green, and I couldn't see to my left or to my right. There was a road intersection right there. The light turned green. And then once it turned green, I'm normally, let's go. Let's just not waste any time here, you know, and there's people behind me. But something in me hesitated. I said, it wasn't a voice. There's no words out here. There's no audible voice. But something inside me said, just an impression is a better way to say it. An impression, just wait. Just wait a second. Well, I hesitated. You know, cars start beeping their horns behind you. Come on, let's go, you know. But they don't know what I know. And so I hesitated 2 or 3 seconds. And when I did, a car went through and it's coming down the hill. I can show you the exact intersection. And a car was going about 45 to 50 miles an hour. And you know how people are. They run the yellow lights. It turns red. They try to go through it. If I would have gone when that light turned green, that car would have hit me, T-boned me. It could have either seriously injured me or killed me. And that happened so fast. It was like, whew. And I was like, Jesus. Man, and you know what? It was so subtle, I could have missed it. Oh, my gosh. It was so subtle. But it was just a thought, passing thought. Just back off. There was no fear involved. It was just like, hold off. And when I did, boy, that car came through there, you know, and I said, oh, Lord, thank you for saving my life right now.
Amen.
You know? Because to be honest with you, the car that he had was a lot bigger than the car that I had. There wasn't a whole lot of metal around me. You know, it's like those little tiny cars they got out there nowadays. It's like a golf cart, you know what I'm saying? Smart car, I can think of a dumb car, you know. Anyway. Well, here's the interesting thing was, that's the summer when this happened, and the Lord saved my life. In the winter, we are at this same exact intersection. This time, it's at nighttime. We were coming from Lynn's parents at that time. We were coming home, had both kids in the car. It was late at night. Actually, it was about midnight. And there was a car in front of me. I was right behind this person at the exact same location. The light turned green. This lady took off, started going, and the exact same thing happened. A car came through and smacked into this car, spun the car around, and it was nasty. And we were right there to jump out and help this lady, you know. And the car was so big and so old, it was a hit and run. They took off, you know. And I thought, you know, that could have been me right there. See, folks, this is why it's so important, because, you know, sometimes you'll hear things. You know, even ministers of the gospel can miss it sometimes, because we all have to listen to our spirits. We have to be honed in, listen to our spirits, all right? And that's why sometimes tragedy will happen to men and women of God that you're like, Lord, I don't understand. They were such good people. They served the body of Christ, and, man, they were just holy people. But here's the thing. Every one of us have to learn to listen to our spirits, okay? Now, if we're just filling our minds with junk, television shows, radio going, all the junk just going into our minds all the time, there's going to be so much clamor and junk going on and busyness going on inside of our minds, we're not going to be able to hear precisely what God's speaking to us in our hearts. Are you with me now? And we have to have times of stillness and quietness, you know. Sometimes people are afraid of silence. Some people have to be talking all the time. Texting or talking? talk, 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 text, talk, 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 text, text, text. Now, I'm not knocking texting or emailing, okay? But wisdom would say, hey, you know, just like Si says, hey. You know what I'm talking about. There's times that you have to turn that thing off just to have stillness and quietness to listen to the Holy Ghost. All right, amen. I mean, you get ready to make a decision, an important decision. Boy, it's important to hear from heaven. Oh, I just wish I'd hear an audible voice. No, God's going to lead you and direct you by the inward witness. Okay? And if you're making a decision, you're making a choice, and you're moving forward, but something's scratching you on the inside. I don't mean literally, but something's like, peace. There's no peace. Back off. Back off. And always pursue peace. The Bible says, follow after peace. You see, on the spiritual dashboard of every one of your cars, there are two gauges that I really encourage you to look at constantly. That's your peace gauge and your joy gauge. They go together. They're brother and sister. They're related. Joy and peace. Peace and joy. When you move forward in life, you have to listen to that inward peace. Do I have peace about this decision? Well, there's been times, you know, where I've made choices and I would just, okay, Lord, I'm moving forward in this. And as long as I have the peace. Now, the Old Testament, you know, they had... You remember the Israelites, they had, when they came out of the Egypt, you know, the Bible says that God led them through a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So at nighttime in the desert, they had fire to keep them warm. Mm-hmm. In the desert, in the daylight, you know, it's extremely hot. They had a big cloud that protected them from the sunlight. But not only did it protect them and gave them warmth and protection during the day, but the cloud and the fire would lead them. So the cloud and the fire would move north, they would go north. It went south, they went south. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, amen? There goes the cloud, all right, let's pull the tent stakes up, let's go. But see, some people think they would rather live under the Old Testament. Oh, I wish to God that God would lead me that way, a big fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, you know. The scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, Josh shared this today, that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Are you with me? That's Old Testament. Now, the reason that God had to lead them by outward means is because they were spiritually dead. So what do you mean? They were walking around? No, they were spiritually dead. They were physically alive, but they were spiritually alienated from God. They had no spiritual life on the inside of them. You see, nobody can be born again. Nobody could have the Holy Spirit in them until after Jesus was raised from the dead. And now the cloud and the fire are on the inside of you.
Hallelujah.
It's not out there somewhere. It's inside you. Remember John the Baptist? He said, there's coming one after me. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. On the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire sat upon each of them. Well, if you've got God in your life, you have the fire and the cloud that's already on the inside of you.
Amen.
Now, it's not physical. It's spiritual. Bless the Lord. And that cloud and that fire are there to guide you and to lead you into every aspect of life. And I'll tell you this, any time that I've ever followed that inward witness, I've never missed it. Not once. 100%. Now, did you make mistakes, Brother Keith? Oh, yeah, when I didn't listen to it. But see, that's part of growing spiritually, okay? That's part of developing spiritually. And I like to be around other men of God and women of God, ministers of the gospel that have had more experience than me, been around longer than I have, you know? And you hang on to them because you grow from their wisdom, amen? I mean, these guys that we're with in the meetings this weekend, and let me just say this. You don't have to know somebody for them to be your spiritual father. Kenneth Hagin was my spiritual father for years and years. Then he moved to heaven. I didn't know him personally, but he was my spiritual father. Because I gleaned from him. I took from his ministry in a good way. Okay? So don't make the mistake of thinking, well, for someone to really grow from them, you have to know them personally. Now, that's one of the benefits of the local church. Okay? I'm touchable. Amen? Did you ever notice I don't go hide in a back room after the service to get away from everybody? Neither does Pastor Lynn. We're touchable. I don't mean that in a wrong sense, you know what I mean? But, you know, that's just the way God set it up. Are you with me? But the fire and the cloud are placed on the inside of us to lead us and to guide us in all truth. Now, the Bible says man's has his plans, but it's the Lord's plans that will stand. Man has his purpose, his plan, you know, what he wants to do, but it's the Lord's plans that will stand. Amen? There's a misunderstanding, I think, sometimes with, for example, Brother Keith Moore, I heard him talk about this years ago, and he said that it sounds like a noble thing to tell your child, your son or your daughter, when they're younger, son, you can do anything you want to do, you know? You want to be an astronaut? Go for it. You know, you want to be a policeman? Go for it, right? Actually, that's not true. Oh, wait a minute, you're just trying to put confidence in that son. Yeah, that's right. But a better way to say it was, son, daughter, you can do whatever God has called you to do. Okay? Because God has not graced you to be something that you're not. Are you with me? His grace is parallel with his calling, what he's called you to do in this life. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of different calls in the ministry in the body of Christ. Okay? I mean, I get so blessed when I spend time and see the different callings and giftings that you all have on your life, you know? I look at what Brother Tom does with finance and things like that. I could never do that in a million years, what he's doing. I couldn't. I marvel at that, you know? But see, the grace of God and the gift of God is on him for that particular area. Now, he's sitting up front, so I'll just pick on him, you know? But, you know, that just amazes me because I see the multifaceted grace of God, gift of God that's on everybody's life in a different form or fashion, you know? And that just wipes out any competition because, hey, you know, we're not trying to compete with one another. We're trying to just finish the race God has called us to do. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Okay, John 5:19. Look at John 5:30. Well, we got to wrap this up here. John 5:30. Are you learning this morning?
Yep.
All right. Two people are then. Okay. John 5:30. Notice again, the same kind of a phrase. Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. Praise God. Now go to John chapter 8. 28. That's John 8:28. Then Jesus said unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he and that I can do nothing. Notice this, I can do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now we can see that there's about four scriptures that we looked at today, and this isn't all of them, but this is some that I wanted to, you know, purposely pick out this morning. Jesus made it very, very clear that he would only do what he saw his Father do, and he would only speak what he heard his Father say. So there must be a preliminary hearing before you speak. Amen? Isn't there a scripture in the New Testament that says that when they're, you know, in the Gospels, I think it is, that Jesus said, when they bring you before, he's talking about persecution, and they bring you before the magistrates and so forth and so on, the leaders, and they're persecuting you, and you're under pressure, intense pressure. Remember Jesus said, in essence, he goes, don't premeditate what you're going to say. He goes, it will be given to you in that very hour what you're supposed to say. Hallelujah. Do you all remember that? Okay. And so it's okay to premeditate things sometimes and kind of think through things, but there are times you just, by faith, you know, I know I'm going to hear from the Lord today. Every time I get up here and speak, I'm believing that. Praise God. And it will be given to you what you should say. So that's a dependency. Amen? I want to ask you this question this morning. How dependent are we? That's me too. How dependent are we upon God? We can become, no matter how dependent we are, we can become more dependent. Right? We can become, have more of a hearing ear and a listening ear and a seeing eye and a hearing ear. Oh God, hallelujah. And the more that we listen to what he's saying, the more peace we're going to have in our lives. Amen. There's no peace like knowing you're doing what God wants. Amen? Amen? Let me tell you, you're in the right place at the right time today. There's nobody here by mistake or by accident. You are here today. You are in the will of God right now. You're in this place right now. So you can rest assured everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
God's going to take care of you.
Amen.
Our dependency, I wrote down here, must be in the Lord in order to produce lasting fruit. So what, in conclusion today, what is the best way to stay connected? We're talking about being connected. Staying connected to Christ means, number one, get born again. Number two, put his word inside your heart. Start out reading a chapter a day. Just read, go to the New Testament. We're living in the New Testament. And just take one chapter a day. Oh, it takes a minute or two. Just start one chapter, read that slowly. But before you read it, say, Holy Spirit, you're the author of this book. I'm asking you to show me, open my eyes, help me to see things that I haven't seen here. You know, and if I'm in John chapter 5, maybe I've read it before, I go to John chapter 5, and I read it slowly, out loud, slowly. And all of a sudden, something will pop out at you. Amen? And what is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? Every book has an author. But how many of you know those authors? Most people don't. Amen? But in this instant, the author of this book happens to live inside you. You can't say that about anybody else. I don't care how good the author is, how many books they've written. They've never lived on the inside of you, but I'll tell you what. The Bible says holy men of old wrote and spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They wrote this book inspired by God. Amen. And that author that wrote this book actually lives on the inside of you. So he can give you kind of an insight and sneak preview and show you things that you never saw before. You ever been reading a verse of Scripture before and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I didn't see that before. You ever have that happen to you before? It's like the light turned on. Amen? What is that? That's revelation. Revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit doing that. Amen? Depend on God as if you were out in the middle of the ocean on a little circular raft and there's sharks swimming all around you. Right at that moment, you're not thinking about who won the sports game last night. Let's just be honest. You're not thinking about the stock market.
It's true.
Amen. You're not thinking about that grocery list. You're not thinking about anything other than I need to survive. Okay? At that moment, you become completely focused. Because when your life, now, just hypothetically, of course, but when your life is in a situation like that, if you're out in the middle of the ocean on a little circular raft, tiny little thing they use in swimming pools, and you see fins swimming around you, you become instantly focused. Are you with me? It's not time to start splashing the water and, you know, making a bunch of noise and everything. Are you with me? Why? Because you're in survival mode. Everything else is shut out. Okay? That's a good thing. And we have to be careful that we don't allow the distractions of this age, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, the distractions of this age to grab our, always pulling at our attention all the time, getting us off course, getting us out of prayer, getting us out of the Word, getting us out of church, getting us out of the things of God. Because if he can break our focus, then he has access to our lives, the devil. Okay? But I believe I'm talking to a bunch of people in here this morning that want to just stay focused. I know I do. Amen? Isn't it crazy sometimes the little things we let distract us? I mean, I've been in services sometimes, even our own service sometimes. Somebody gets up and goes to the restroom. It's almost like I have to take a 5-minute break because someone just walked up and just walked out and went to the restroom. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Like, ooh, someone just walked up and walked out, you know. So what? Are you with me? We have to stay focused, like those horses that have those things, those cups on their eyes. Those blinders, yeah. Why is that? So they're not distracted to the horse on the right, horse on the left. They're looking straight ahead. They're looking straight ahead. Why? The finish line. That's what they're looking at. Because what they look to the right, look to the left, will distract their course, their race. Okay? And so today, the Spirit of the living God can help us to stay focused on what's important in our lives. You know, I believe with all of my heart in the next month, next 30 days, that you're going to have such an eye to see and an ear to hear, and that you'll be so homed in. You know, remember that movie E.T. years ago? Came out in 1982 when I was at Bible school. You know, anybody ever see that movie? Now, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, you know, but, you know. But he was an alien, and an ugly alien, too. I never saw a pretty-looking alien anyway in the movie. And he had a phrase called E.T., phone home. Does anybody remember that? Because he would get slow and weak and just slow motion. Everything was slowing down. But when he got the red phone and phoned home where he was from, strength came back to him. Okay? Now, folks, when we pray, we're phoning home. Amen? I don't know if I ever used that illustration before, but you got the red phone. You're praying. You're talking to the Father. You're phoning home. You're hearing from heaven. And he's energizing you and giving you the strength to do the job that you're called to do. Amen? I want to pray for you this morning as we leave. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads for a moment. Father, I thank you so much for these people this morning. Thank you for hungry hearts, receptive minds, and teachable spirits, Father. Praise God. Before I pray for everybody, every head bowed, every eye closed, I would like to give you an invitation this morning to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe you've been a churchgoer, been in and out of church, you know, but it's an entirely different thing to be a churchgoer and to be a Christian. A Christian means, in simple terms, you said yes to Jesus. In other words, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. The Scripture teaches us that Jesus came and died, went to hell for 3 days and three nights, was raised from the dead. But guess what? He did it for not himself, but for you and for me. He went to hell so that we wouldn't have to. Now, the only thing that qualifies us to become a Christian is by saying, yes, Jesus, come into my heart. It is the, folks, it's the most important decision you will ever make in this life. Because it will determine your destination, where you go when you leave this earth. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Yes, there are people that are in hell. But it's not because God willed it. They chose to go there. How devastating can that be? They can never escape. But Jesus went there for you and for me. And all we have to do is, he hung naked on a cross in front of the whole world and became the sin of this world. The shame was guilt, and the guilt was all laid upon him, for our guilt and our shame, our sin was laid upon Jesus in front of the whole world at that time. Our only response to that is by saying, yes, I believe he did that for me. And I want to say this without any hesitation whatsoever. There's nobody looking around. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to have you lift your hand. If you're not sure, but you want to be sure that your name is written in the book of life right now, just lift your hand up real quick. Just lift it up real quick and let it down. Anybody at all? Folks, it's so important. So important. See, God has no grandchildren. Your mama might be a Christian, your dad might be a Christian, but God doesn't have any grandchildren. You have to receive Jesus yourself. One more time, if there's anybody here that has never met Jesus Christ, would you lift your hands up, please? Just lift it up real high, real quick. Anybody at all? It's the most important decision you'll ever make. I guarantee you right now. Say this after me. Say, Jesus,
I believe
you're the Son of God.
That you died for me.
Buried for me.
Raised for me.
I make you
my Lord
and my Savior
from this moment forward.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. My wife and I are, I'm going to join hands with my wife, and I want to pray for all of you right now. And I fully expect that our ears are going to be so homed in on the Father in every circumstance. When you feel that pressure coming against you, you know, and during the course of any day of any week, you know, there's a wisdom key inside of you. And if you'll listen inside of you, God will show you what to do instead of freaking out. Amen. None of us have to freak out.
Amen.
And spaz and panic. That's the picture of a Christian that doesn't know how to listen to God. But we're not in that category, right? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for these precious people this morning, Father. Thank you for every one of them, Lord. Thank you for their love for people and their love for you. And I know, Father, that the very fact that they're here this morning, they're hungry for you. They want to know you better, Father. And I pray, Lynn and I, we pray right now that you would give us a keen awareness, Father, of the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our each and every one of our lives, each one here, Father. Give us an eye to see and an ear to hear. And we thank you that peace of God shall rise up like a mighty fortress on the each and every one here. And so we thank you, Father, that we're coming up higher, we're coming up stronger, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just take a moment and pray in the Holy Spirit.
Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father.
Praise you, Father.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you, Father. Worship you, Father. Thank you, Father. Give you praise, Lord Jesus. Give you praise, Lord Jesus.
So the tide is rising higher and higher, and your spirit man is ascending higher and higher. For don't you know in these days that my glory is on the rise? My anointing is on the rise. So come up higher and leave the earth. And come and sit with me in heavenly places. For that's where you are seated, in my presence and in that right place.
Yes.
So call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. So call upon the anointing within and you'll see my deliverance on every hand. So don't hold back. Don't hold back. But rise up, and step into all that I've called for you to do. Oh, these days are precious. These days are growing darker, but the light on the inside of you is getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until that great day, where the catching of the way of the saints shall become so clear. Ramashe provoca ridisho. So get ready. Get ready, for the end is near. Get ready. Get ready. For the great, great one shall appear. And you shall be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye.
Yes,
you'll be changed in my glory.
Yes,
in my glory you shall see. What a day that shall be.
Thank you, Lord.
Ha, ha, ha.
We receive that.
Hallelujah.
We receive that, Lord.
Thank you for that.
Praise
Lord.
You,
Thank
Jesus.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
We prepare our hearts, Father
Lord.
God. We prepare our hearts for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Oh, we run our race, Father God, that you have set before us, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
My goodness.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see this in my spirit that as just before we leave here, the word clarity. there's going to be a clarity in your like the fog's being removed, you know what I mean? Where the visibility, in other words, you know, they give that over the, you know, when you watch the weather sometimes, they'll say visibility is such and such, you know, but in the spirit realm, the visibility is crystal clear. You can see a long distance without any distractions. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I truly believe that God's done something on the inside of your heart that cause you to rise higher. Yeah. And those things that held you back are not going to hold you back any longer.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. If there's anyone here that hasn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, come on up and we'll pray with you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You need that power for these last days. We need to be, that's one way to stay connected is by praying in the Spirit. And that's what Jesus said, that those that, there's so many scriptures. So just come on up. That'd be another sermon. So.
Praise God. Let's all stand up. Amen. Bless you. Amen. You are dismissed. Amen. God bless you.